Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Shirai behind the glass, joined now by the Hall of Famer, my main man, Kevin McHale, as he joins us each and every week to talk basketball and other things. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, as always.
No problem. Good to be here.
Are you on the road again, as Willie Nelson would
not.
Say?
No, I'm at home. Again? I'm just kind of waiting for some clouds to. I'm in Scottsdale, waiting for some clouds to go by, and then there was a little rain sprinkle. We're supposed to have a couple hours of decent weather, so I'm probably just going to go over to the putting and chipping area and just work on my game a little bit.
You do that purposely,
again,
don't
I'm done.
You do that to me purposely. I know that.
I do.
So, yes, and I don't appreciate it, but I'll let you
know.
And
I'm going to have a couple cold beers afterwards. So what's better, cold beer and golf? Come on.
Thanks, Coach. You mean you wouldn't trade all that in for sideline antics and locker room fun with Dwight James and the Houston Rockets?
I just want my hair to grow gray naturally, not accelerated.
Well, shoot, I'm trying to have the same thing, Coach, but Joel is making my hair grow gray every day.
I know, he'll do that to you. Let me just hang around with him.
By the way, Coach, if he had hair...
You look like you're 130 here pretty soon.
If he had hair, it could go gray, but he doesn't.
Well, you make my beard go gray right
oh,
now.
Oh, there you go.
So, Coach, same thing.
So they're remaking White Men Can't Jump.
What do you got going on?
Okay? They're remaking White Men Can't Jump. Why were you never asked to be anything other than Cheers? Were you ever asked to be in a movie?
I have been. I've been asked to be in a few movies, believe it or not, which is, I don't know, it just never really... It was something I really didn't want to do, to be truthful. Never really felt comfortable doing all that stuff. And I don't know, but I've actually had a couple of crazy roles of just things that were just kind of wacky. And
didn't you have a cameo in Space Jam?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I did the Cheers stuff. I'm sure there was
the
some
Cheers
other stuff
was that. Vintage. That was fantastic stuff. And obviously with the Boston tie-in, it was great.
Yes, but no, I'm not. You got to know what you are and what you are not in this world. I am not an actor, okay? So I'm just gonna go out there and throw that out there.
Are you been watching some games this week?
Of course, watched a lot of games. Watched a lot of football last weekend. I saw that Hail Mary by your boy Aaron Rodgers that's flowing out to the left and turning around, throwing that strike. That was a hell of a game.
Yes, thank you.
And since I am an analyst for the Turner Broadcasting System, I do watch a lot of NBA basketball, believe it or not.
All right, so what was on top of mind on Kevin McHale's watch list this week? Was it Westbrook and the Thunder against the Warriors? Was it Warriors-Cavs? Was it your old team, the Rockets, and a bad loss in Miami followed up by a win last night against the Milwaukee Bucks?
I actually was really wanted to watch, and I got bored within minutes of watching the Cavs at Golden State.
Yeah.
Cavs are not playing well right now. And just for everybody who gets excited throughout the course of the season when a team struggles a little bit, it's not unusual. You go, especially at this time, I always thought this was the hardest time of the year to play basketball. It's January. You got a couple weeks for the All-Star game. It just feels just the dog days of the NBA. After the All-Star game, man, you play a few games, and all of a sudden you go, hey, man, we're 5-6 weeks away from the playoffs starting when your juices really start getting flowing and really start flowing and really excited to play. So I the Cavaliers played poorly. I think I watched the I watched Houston against the Heat, just completely laid an egg. But that's going to happen at times during this season. That's why last year, when Golden State made their run, Joel, I was shocked they got to 73. They never really had one of those periods where they just lost interest for a while. You know,
right.
And that's hard not to do in NBA. You know, football, man, you're playing once every Sunday now it's Thursdays and Mondays, but you play once a week, and all your focus is on that game. Boy, in the NBA, when you're having, 9 games in 13 days, it can really slack at this time of the year. So there wasn't great basketball, to answer your question, over the weekend. I didn't see many games. The games I wanted to watch were not fun to watch. So it was just, just one of those games where I just kind of channel scanned around my NBA package and tried to find games that were interesting.
So, Coach, take me back to a little bit. We were talking about the Antonio Brown thing earlier, and you've had your episodes with off days and guys going out of the city and going to Vegas and doing other things, and obviously it's a new generation and the millennials and all this other stuff. But Where are you on all of that, from the Giants and the off day photo shoot on the boat, the wide receivers to Antonio Brown, and just your take, both when you played, obviously it was different, but as a coach, when you have to tolerate and deal with things that go on like that in your locker room?
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, if guys are going to do stuff like that, you better bring it. If you don't bring it, you're going to be held accountable, and that's the way it should be. You know, I tell guys, you know, they go out and they have a big night, and you hear about it, and next day I'd say, well, fellas, I heard a few of you guys had a late night last night. You better go ahead and bring it tonight. Because if you don't, right now, if you don't go out and bring it, you're letting your team and your teammates down. And that's unacceptable. You know, you can do things like, hey, look, if you have an off day, I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you got to go home by 3 o'clock and you got to be in bed by 9. It's your off day. But they do ridiculous things now. Guys have an off day. They fly to Las Vegas, you know, or I should say an off day, have an off practice. You know, their practice ends at 1. They fly to Vegas. You know, I'm like, that just, you know, to me, way too much damn money if you're flying to Vegas on a private plane for a 5-hour, just play cards deal. And, but you've got to be accountable. So again, you know, you can do some things that, you know, that you want to do, but you had better bring it the next day and you had better play really well if you put yourself in that position. That's why I thought that, the big beach gate thing that happened, with the Giants, you know, they didn't perform. You don't perform, you're going to, hey, I can tell you right now, the guy who videotaped his coach in Pittsburgh there, I bet he's thinking, I better really perform well. But I started a firestorm, and you gotta go bring it. If you do something like that, if you cause any kind of disruption in team flow, you'd better bring it. And you better be the one that they say, man, that guy played great, even if we did lose.
Now, question, now, with the Raiders moving to Vegas, I know Joe kind of touched on it. When the Raiders move to Vegas, how do you approach, if you are the team of the Raiders, I mean, if you're a coach of the team of the Raiders, how do you approach that everyday life of, man, I mean, Sin City is right here, and we all know the pull that Sin City has, and you're saying this is how I'm coaching my guys. How do you prepare for that? How do you go about your business and keeping those guys out of that life and out of all of that stuff that comes along with Vegas?
I don't think you can keep them out of it totally. I think, you know, your biggest hope is that your guys get it out of their system Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and when the visiting team comes in, they get it out of their system Saturday night, so they're not very good on Sunday. I think that your players are going to go do some stuff. I it would be hard. I mean, you have to tell them, guys, you got, hey, you're adults. You're responsible for your actions. You guys have got to be ready to play on Sunday. But I tell you what, whether it's a football team, an NBA team, anybody that goes there, and I think more teams will go there, I honestly think you have a hell of a home field or home court advantage, because a lot of those teams will come in there and that'll be their break. That'll be their one time. Hey, we get to Vegas once this year. They'll go out and try to, you know, party and do stuff. And I think it probably is advantageous if you're the home team. But I mean, hey, look, I know there are a lot of teams that came to Houston and I talked to the coach, you know, before the game, hey, how you doing? He'd say, oh man, our guys went out last night in Houston. And Houston was a destination city for a lot of teams to go out and party, and they were worried about how their team was ready to play. So I think that there's some of that. But again, as I said, if you go out and do that kind of stuff and put, you got to bring it. You got to be one of the guys that's out there busting this hump, and you know, you just got to bring it. Hey, I'll tell you what. I watched the Rockets play the other night. They looked like they had a hell of a time in South Beach the night before.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they didn't look very sharp at all.
I was telling Travis this week, I said, boy, two things you had to be careful of when the schedule came out. If you had an off night in Miami and you had a Monday night or an off night in L.A., because it didn't matter. In L.A., Monday nights are like Saturday nights, and you know damn well, unless it's a back-to-back and they got no time, and even then they'll make time, but you know those were two cities that were traps for them. And Toronto was another one where you guys always struggled with those Sunday afternoon games, because Toronto's one where there's a lot of nightlife that starts late night, and you can ask Kidu Turkoglu. Those are the kind of nights that can cause to early mornings and cause a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no question. We seem to play Sunday afternoon at 1 or noon all the time. Yep. In Toronto, and that was not a good fit for our team.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we're going to have George Karl on later today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I mean, you've been through it as a player, as a coach, as a general manager, and I already know the answer to this, that you're not going to jot down with pen and paper your memoirs anytime soon. But at the same time, where are you on that whole firestorm? Because these are the guys that helped pave the way for you to be a top 10 coach. And yet it seems like he's alienated just about anybody that's been in the rearview mirror in the history of his coaching in the game.
Yeah, you know what? I just think there's some things you got to let go. Either as a coach or as a player, there are things that happen in the locker room that they just got to stay in the locker room. You can't bring it out. You can't air all your grievances out, you know, in a book or on the air or anything all the time. I think it's safe to say George could say he had a problem with this guy or that guy. You know, a lot of times we didn't communicate well or we weren't on the same page or whatever. You let it go. That happens on every coach. It happens to every coach with every at every stop. But boy, to kind of come out and lay it out, I honestly look at it. It reminded me of when Phil Jackson wrote that book when I thought he retired for good and kind of ripped Kobe, then came back and had to coach him.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, man, just some of that stuff. It'll come back and bite you in the butt. I wouldn't do it. It sounds like, but then again, I said the same thing about Phil Jackson. It sounds like George was just saying, I'm not coaching again, so I'm just going to say what I want to say. But, you know, I thought the same thing about Phil Jackson. And then a couple years later, he's coaching Kobe and trying to retract all the stuff he said about him. You know what I mean? That's hard to do, but I just think that some of the stuff where you can come out and say, hey, we didn't play well in this game, or this guy didn't play well, or hey, this guy in big games didn't bring it, or whatever it is, you can generalize, but boy, to kind of get specific, I'm not a big fan of that. And, you know, I thought George was a really good coach in our league for a lot of years, and, you know, I know he wrote the book, and I'm sure the guy was prodding him on steady, like, you know, got any stories about this, or I need more stuff. And if we want to sell this book, we kind of have got to have some dirt, cause that's what sells today. But, not a big fan.
All right, Kevin McHale's with us. Coach, join us, because I know the clouds haven't cleared yet, so you can give us one more segment before you chip and putt, can't you?
I can. All right. I got time. The clouds are clearing, though.
Okay. Well, we'll make it just a solid segment, not an elongated segment. We appreciate it. Kevin McHale will be right back with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and a steady dose of Kevin McHale in his weekly appearance right here on this show. Nick Shirara behind the glass. And Coach, Nick's kind of shy. He does go to all the Rockets games because Lord knows one of us has to. And he does have some pretty solid observations, and he wanted to get your take on some of the things that happened last night, that Golden State Oklahoma City game. One, is that something that you're used to seeing, or you expected to see, or the norm of what it's going to be like now that two guys that were going to war together now aren't even speaking or on speaking terms, like Westbrook and Durant? And then, of course, the follow-up would be, and the Pachulia flagrant on Westbrook, that might not even be a common foul when you played.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been a common foul. That was just, I mean, you look at Westbrook comes with such unbelievable force to the basket. If you're a big guy and you don't meet that force with, you know, with some aggression and some force to yourself, he'll just roll you over. I mean, that kid is fun for me to watch. I love watching him play, but he attacks. When a guy's really coming hard to the basket, you've got to go up with some force and you've got to try to match it. And I didn't like that. There seems to be a lot of guys that play and get separated and still remain friends, or, you know, but there's something with that relationship that's more than meets the eye. It seemed like last year when Durant decided to leave, that Russell Westbrook was really upset that he didn't get a call, he didn't get this. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think Kevin Durant was doing what's best for Kevin Durant, and I think I think KD didn't like that. And I said last year when that happened, I said everybody better get ready for a Russell Westbrook explosion, because he plays better when he's mad. Like some of the guys. Like, you know, you want to get mad, you want to get under their skin, you know, you want to piss the guy off. You don't want to do that with Russell Westbrook. He plays better when he's angry. He's one of those guys that when he's upset, he just plays at a whole other level. So he's been doing that, averaging a triple-double this year. But, you know, I kind of like it, man. It gives some juice to the whole rivalry, and, you know, you're they're not teammates anymore. You can be friends after the game. You can say, hey, yo, you can go out for dinner. But before the game, man, they're putting their game faces on and said, screw it, let's go compete.
So I'm sure you told Pat Beverly, just don't get under Westbrook's skin ever?
No, but he actually got under his skin enough he didn't play after that, which
that's
helped.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? Look, it's one of those things, you tell him, hey, if you go out there, he's not going to back off. He's not going to shy away. You're not going to, like, punk him. He's going to keep coming. He's going to come harder. So go ahead and do it. But I tell everybody, I have no problem with anybody talking some trash out there. You just got to be able to back it up. Now, I'm not sure there's many point guards that that can talk trash to Russell Westbrook and then back it up. You know, so hey, if you got that much game where you can look at one of the top guys in the league and say, let's go, let's find out who's tougher, then go ahead and do it.
I like Isaiah Thomas to do something like that. But quick question,
of
Coach.
The Celtics?
Yeah, you don't like Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah, man, but come on, he's small. And
what that mean? So is Russell?
No, Russell is,
I mean, he's, come on, he's 6'4". Okay,
go ahead, talk to the coach.
We'll
talk
about
it
later.
Yeah.
You know, but Coach, back to this book, man, because this is really bothering me. Do you think that George might have talked his way out of the Hall of Fame, kind of like Curt Schilling right now is losing ground in his Hall of Fame balloting? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what? I hope what happens is that with George, this thing is going to be, he's, you know, it's big. It's right now, it's going to be out there for another couple months, this book. I hope that just kind of goes away in a couple of years when George is eligible for the Hall as a coach. If they look at his total, everything he's done. I mean, he's been around. He's coaching Cleveland back in the early 80s, you know, his first stint, and left there, went over to Europe and coached for a while, came back to the NBA, brought his that Seattle team, was a great team. He's done a lot of stuff, been around a long time, and but it could, though, to answer your question. It surely could, because, I mean, there might be people, you know, when you vote on that thing with the Hall of Fame, who knows why you vote certain things, and it might be people might just be upset going, okay, he was a hell of a coach, but he kind of burned every bridge on his way out of town. I'm not going to reward that. So, yeah, it could, which would be a shame because, like I said, the guy's had a hell of a long coaching career and, you know, deserves on that alone to be in there.
Well, Coach, you look at it, too, and you look at – we talk a lot about criteria with the Hall of Fame, Bagwell getting in as an Astro, the second Astro last night. But the whole problem being, yes, at baseball now, the balloters are going to have to reveal who they voted for. But we still don't know the criteria in any of the sports, whether it be from the Heisman Trophy to the Hall of Fames. The selection process just has no backbone of criteria where you can say, oh, they're basing it on statistics. Or, you know, the Robert Horry discussion, they're basing it on how many rings you won. There is no criteria, so it is such a undefined science, so to speak, when trying to get these guys into the Hall of Fame. And it seems like political things like this George Karl book can be a factor whether you like it or not.
No, I agree. I mean, it really, in a lot of ways, just becomes a popularity contest. I mean, how well is the guy liked? And all of a sudden you say a guy's name and people go, oh, yeah, I like that guy. You know, I'll vote for him. Or you say a guy's name that might have unbelievable credentials to get in, and they go, yeah, I don't like that guy. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know. There's something about that guy I don't like. And so it is a little bit of a popularity contest. You have to have been really successful, of course. That goes without saying, just to be considered for the Hall of Fame. But after that, I'm with you. I'm not sure exactly what all the qualifications are to get in. And then I think what happens is if you just say, well, I'm gonna limit that to if you didn't win championships. Yeah, there are some guys that stayed in a town or a city, their team for their whole career, and they never won a championship, but they were a hell of players, and it wasn't their fault they didn't win. Their team just wasn't good enough. And so I don't know. Like I say, it definitely could hurt George, though, no question.
I was watching that game last night, the Rockets and the Bucks, and I said this to Travis yesterday, but I look at that Milwaukee team and I say, it might be your last team with the Rockets. It, really seriously, a lot of athleticism. A lot of big bodies. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons. They just don't have enough outside shooting. Middleton, if he comes back, can help them. But boy, I look at Adetokounmpo and I say, this kid doesn't even know how good he can be. And his numbers are parallel to James Harden's for the same time in both their careers in their fourth year. But I look at him and Jabari Parker and think, if they had some shooters on the wing, that team could be really, really good.
Yeah, Parker's really impressed me. Just he looks so much quicker and so much. You know, I was concerned when I first saw Parker play. I thought, he looks slow. And I mean, he's explosive. He's quick. He's moving around. And the Greek Freak is just, he's unbelievable. I mean, that guy can really flat out play. He can defend. They can switch. They're an interesting team because they can switch so much stuff and not really get hurt. They can go what you deem as small, but they still rebound the ball well because they can be so, whether they don't have a 7-footer on the floor, but they got just a whole bunch of 6'7", 6'8" guys, and they rebound well. That's an interesting team. I think, you know, their offense is always going to be what holds them back. They're going to have a hard time scoring, and, you know, it's just like a lot of teams in our league. If you don't have a closer, don't have a guy that you can run the offense through, late in the game, it gets hard, but they're a fun team. I enjoy watching that team play. And I think they're going to get better and better, but you know, they need some knockdown drive. I agree with you. They need some just drop dead shooters, and they probably need another guy that can really create for them. You know what I mean? I just another guy to take a lot of pressure off of the Greek Freaks, and as far as driving and kicking and playing, and but you know, fun team to watch.
Hey, quick question, Coach, because I know you got to go. I know the golf course is calling your name. But I want you to – I got in an argument, a little argument the other day about who's the best big man in the East, and I said Joel Embiid. Am I right about that? Because I think right now he's playing phenomenal basketball.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting you say that. We were kind of throwing that around. Boy, it's hard to say who's better than him. He's really – man, I tell you what, that kid is so talented. And, you know, right now when you say what big man is playing better than him, I'd take him over Whiteside in Miami. I just think he's just more stuff for you that, you know, he just is more dependable. You can run offense through him. He's a good passer. He can make the three. You know, he can attack from the perimeter. He defends. He rebounds. I just don't think that you're right. There probably isn't a player. I'd take him way over Brook Lopez. I mean, you know, from Brooklyn.
And,
I'm just trying to think of.
I mean,
who I would.
You got Tristan Thompson. You know, if you consider him a five or a four, but you know, honestly, because the East, as we've spoken about, it's not a big man's league anymore. But they're just maybe Valanciunas in Toronto.
Yeah, but I take him over Valanciunas too. I just think he's a better basketball player. I like the kid. That's interesting. Yeah, that's something to think about. I mean, you know, for a team like the Cavs, you can say Tristan Thompson fits them perfectly, which he does. Doesn't need the ball and stuff. But I mean, you can run your offense through Embiid. I said earlier this year, I thought Towns was the most gifted, you know, big, young big man who you could build a team around. I'm changing my tune a little bit, even though I do love, I do love Towns. I look at Embiid and I'm like, boy, if you're starting a team, you say, I have to have a big one, a big guy to, you know, just to fill out my team. It'd be hard not to pick him.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, the one thing, Coach, I'm sure you're with me on is people are coming in and already comparing Embiid to Olajuwon. I'm going, okay, there's one thing about saying a guy's really good and another thing about comparing him to a guy like Akeem.
You got to remember, he's still a second-year guy.
But I wouldn't make the comparison.
Everybody made, yeah. In every sport, they make the comparison to somebody. They got to remind you of somebody in order to get to that point.
Coach, I mean, I didn't name any names of people that made that comparison. I think you're getting the gist of it, though.
But no, I'm not saying...
Okay,
let me
just tell you something. I love Embiid. Akeem Olajuwon with his footwork and his freakish quickness and ability, he was just a unique guy. I mean, if you go back and look at those guys, even in their second year, and I'm saying he's a good athlete. Olajuwon was a freakish athlete.
No question.
Honestly, it'd be looking at it like a NASCAR and a nice little Volkswagen going down the road. I mean, you know, that's how freakish an athlete that Olajuwon was. Akeem was such a, he could get off his feet. He'd come from nowhere to block shots. He was just a freak of nature. Where I don't look at his Embiid as a freak of nature. I look at him as I look at Embiid as, like I looked at Kevin Garnett. He just is a really unbelievable basketball player who happens to be 7 foot. Because the stuff he does is mostly guys 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", type guys. But boy, I tell you what, I'm a big fan of Olajuwon, as you can probably tell. And the more you get in being in Houston and getting to know him and work with him, he's like such a wonderful guy that, you know, I just can't, even if it was true, I wouldn't admit it.
Oh, and Coach, I said, if you can't learn something working with you and Akeem Olajuwon every day, and you're
you
in your 20s, and you can't learn at all. Thus, you have Dwight Howard. Hey, Coach, I know you got to get to the you got to get to the golf course.
Yeah, I have no comment on that because I don't want to be like George Karl. I'll talk to you guys later. I'm gonna go hit some golf balls. You guys be good.
Thanks, all Coach. Right, hit them straight. Coach. Kevin McHale's been with us, as he always is, once a week to join us on this show, as he's gracious enough to do. He is a great dude, and he'll tell it to you straight, as you just heard right there. We got another coach coming up, George Karl. We mentioned him in that interview with Kevin McHale. Well, we're going to have him one-on-one, or two-on-one, as the case may be. And Travel and I will put a little full-court pressure on the guy who wrote the book and took some shots at pretty much everybody in his past, as he put the book out there that is called Furious George. He's coming up in just a little bit, but we have much more show to go. We're at the halfway point. Please stick with us. ESPN 97.5. Listening to the sultry sounds of Lewis Price, otherwise known as Eddie the King Faru from White Man Can't Jump, and a personal friend of one Travis Johnson, who sang at his wedding.
Former Temptation.
Former Temptation and former Drifter. If you have any kind of background in music, Motown, or just love those sweet, sultry sounds, you have a lot more respect for Lewis Price than just being Eddie the King for real.
Oh, no question. Great man. No. Great man, great friend, great mentor.
A lot of talent there with acting and singing. So, very cool. By the way, another very cool thing. George H.W. Bush, who has been having some health concerns, must be feeling better because he took time to hit the Twitter to say hearty congrats to a good friend and a great player, Jeff Bagwell, on his well-deserved induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Did he tweet that or did somebody else tweet
it? Let's just hope he's feeling better. Because I said to Lisa, that's like the ultimate couple, the way he and Barbara are, and the Cinderella story of meeting at a high school dance, and the fact that he goes in the hospital and all of a sudden she's admitted to. It just seems like those two were meant to do everything
like you said,
together.
Like, it's that when you've been married that long, you've seen people like that have been married a long time. One dies and the other one dies of like an hour or 2 hours later, and they'd be like, "Well, they die of heartbreak. They really do."
No question about it. You know, and we were just talking about it with Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, and Debbie Reynolds when they did the mother daughter thing, and they were so tight that basically you died of a broken heart if you're Carrie Fisher's mom, and that happened. And you know, you look at some of these different things. We used to say it about Chick Hearn too. Chick Hearn had two things: he had his family and he had the Lakers. And when his wife died, and unfortunately, his kids had some tragic incidents happen where he was basically alone. And when he decided and the Lakers decided that was it for him, we really started being concerned. And it wasn't a short time later that he passed away. But you're right.
I mean, same thing with Bear Bryant. A few months after he retired, he died. I mean, that's why Coach Bowden was always so scared to retire. Everybody's like, man, why is this old man still coaching? Well, he was scared. I mean, Joe Paterno, yeah, he had cancer, but when they took away the things that made you want to get up every day and made you want to do your best and give life a chance, when that stuff is gone, it's, you know.
We kid a lot about, you know, our relationships and our wives and, you know, and everything that goes around in life. But really, when you got it right and that's your best friend, that's when you really know that it's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what you're talking about. I mean, when those things happen.
All right. On another note, Joe, I got a question.
Go ahead.
I had something happen to me today, and I just want to check.
Oh, keeping it real.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to check and see. So I go to the Goodwill today because we got like we got like six bikes that we want.
Oh, I thought you were shopping.
No, I go to Goodwill today. We got six bikes I want to give away. You know, because I'm like, you know, the kids, they used them, but they didn't use them. You know, Deucey's got a brand new big old mountain bike that he rides, you know what I mean, every day. You know, so I got to get rid of his BMX, get rid of my daughter's BMX, because they all got bigger bikes that they actually fit now and can ride every day.
Okay.
I got rid of all the tricycles. Well, I'm trying to get rid of them.
You didn't save a trike for Nick?
You didn't save one?
No, I gave one to John.
Wow! Shots fired. Hey, go ahead.
Bang bang. No, John is. I mean, shoot, Nick is taller than John.
But, oh my God! Carry on with your story, please.
Hey, so I go there, And you know, earlier on, it's raining like a you
easy
know
now.
What?
We're not on satellite.
And so I pull up, and the guy's like, "I'm like, yeah, you know." He's like, "What's up?" I said, "Yeah, I want to give these. I want to donate these bikes." He said, "But they're wet."
What? I said,
"It's raining outside." He said, "I gotta go check with my manager." So I said, "All right, you know, I'm just sitting there. I'm kind of dumbfounded for a second." So this older black dude comes out and he goes, "See, yeah, what's up?" I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to donate, you know, the bikes." And I was like, "But it's raining outside." And he goes, I said, "That's why they're wet." And the guy's asking me why they're wet. So I'm sitting there going back and forth. So then the guy who originally starts helping me comes back out and he's like, "Yeah, but they can't be rusted." I said, "They aren't rusted. These are brand new bikes that might have been used 50 times ever." You know what I'm saying? I said, "You see any rust on these bikes?" I said, "Here, look at this one." And the guy goes, "I don't want any trouble." "You don't want no trouble?" I said, "Hey, man." I said, you know what, man? F you. I'm going to take these bikes. I'm going to find somebody else who really want these bikes.
Right.
And I'm going slap off. I said, "It's wet because it's raining outside. How hard is it that the process? It's in the back of a pickup truck and they wet because it's raining outside. As we speak, it's drops coming out the sky."
This is what we're going to do. Because we're going to get on Twitter.
But let me tell you. Okay. So I called a wife because I'm steaming hot.
Obviously,
right now.
Obviously, yes.
I'm steaming hot right now.
Yep.
And she goes, "You know, it's the mentally challenged people that work at the Goodwill." And I'm like, "It ain't no mentally challenged." She's like, "Yes, they really are." And I'm like, so then I felt bad. I felt like the ringer.
Well, I mean, you couldn't tell if they're mentally challenged?
No.
How do you know they're?
First of all, yeah, you got to be a little bit perceptive.
No, and I'm sitting there like, "Ain't no way." But then when I break down the conversation back in my mind, when I'm like, dude is like, "Well, they're wet." And I'm like, "It's raining."
See, I'm just thinking he was too lazy to pull the bikes out of your truck. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it had to be.
Now, I've been there making donations where I literally will get out and move like all the bags and all the things.
I've done that, and I was out the truck about to help him do that.
So did you do any due diligence? Did you go back and did you check?
No, I didn't. We'll go back and check what?
Because I was on the way to the gym.
I was on the way to the gym. Then I got upset about another situation.
So someone stole all the bikes while you were at the gym.
Well, I don't know. They're still in the back of the truck. Hopefully somebody steals them right now.
There you go. To me, it just sounds like someone was too lazy.
You know what I tell Barry about all this stuff all the time? And literally, honestly. So we were at, Nick, we got time, right? Real quick. When we did the remotes at Christian's Tailgate, one of the greatest red rowdies out there is a guy by the name of Gary Lynn. And Gary Lynn is in a wheelchair. And Gary Lynn is just a diehard Houston sports fan, great dude, comes to the remotes with his mom. They're all the Rockets games. We talk all the time. They're big fans of Lisa. They're great supporters of me. And Gary wins at Dick's Sporting Goods golf shoes and then golf balls for a year. And I don't know, I'm not even going to say why or what ran through my mind first, but he said and he told me and he put it on Facebook that they're not giving him what he won. And I was like, "Gary, it's not right, man." I said, "You got a Twitter handle?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Give it to me."
So he
was doing this on social media, and we're Facebook friends. Yeah. And so I caught wind of it, and I got in contact with him. And I did what I've told Barry to do, like when Barry ordered a sub at one of the sandwich places, and they screwed it up. I said, "You tweet them, and you put their Twitter handle."
Always.
And within 30 minutes, they're going to make it right. So I sent a tweet to the Dick's headquarters and to Dick's Southwest, and I said, "So you guys who are new here in Houston, Texas, are going to do this to my man," and I put Gary's Twitter handle. I said, "He wins golf shoes and golf balls for a year, and you're not going to give them to him?" I'm like, "Are you serious?"
Black guy?
No. And I said, "Let me just tell you something right now. If he does what I know he's capable of doing and he gets the word out on this, you guys are going to look awfully bad." Within half a day, Gary not only had a guarantee he was going to get the golf balls and the shoes, but they gave him a $100 gift certificate in store and an apology. And I said, "It's a shame that it's got to get to that point in order to get it done, but I guarantee you that you put that word out there."
So why wouldn't they honor his free? So he would get free golf balls and golf shoes for a year?
No, just one pair of golf shoes and then golf balls for a year. Oh, and they always, you know how they do that. They just do a count, an estimate, and they just send like a gross or whatever.
Yeah, 30 a month.
But they weren't giving them to him. So he got it rectified that way. Barry got his sandwich. We told Barry one day when he wanted a gun and a mattress to do the same thing, and we had a lot of people that were jumping on trying to help him. So
I did my.
I would tweet to Goodwill.
You know what? Wingstop. I know Wingstop.
We're talking about the bikes right now. Yeah. I would tweet to Goodwill and say, how am I going to drop off six hardly used, what are they, gently used bikes?
Yeah.
And they're not going to take them.
I said, don't worry. I know some people that...
They
I
didn't show you a lot of Goodwill, Travis Johnson.
It's all right. Hey, I know where my stuff can go.
All right. I know where we can go next. George Carl's going to join us, and we're going to talk about his new book, his coaching career, and maybe some of the mistakes he made along the way. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5. Now the
phone's ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick, till 4 o'clock, we are patiently awaiting the arrival of One Call Connection to George Carl, so we can get him on
patiently
the air.
Waiting for a track to explode.
And Travis will ad-lib that. It's a difficult situation because you know that the guy is making the media rounds because obviously with the quotes that have gotten out and a lot of the people that he's dragged under the bus along the way, that you want to not ask the same questions everybody else is asking, but you also want answers.
Yeah, and you don't want to go. You don't want to go for a jugular, and he'd be like, "Man, mother love y'all." You know what I mean?
Hang up.
And hang up. You know
right.
What I mean?
But at the same time, look, you wrote the book. Now you got to own up to
made your bed, lie in it, man. My right. Daddy told me that my whole life, man. You man enough to do it? You better be man enough to stand up to it.
No doubt about it. Right there. Right out of a Rockets recap from me from a couple years ago.
No
with that
question.
Rhyme and flow.
Did you hit that one?
Oh, I've hit, you know.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, shout out to my dog, Roland Seymour, 56 in your playbook, number one in your hearts, man. He's listening to the show right now. He told me I should call Goodwill.
Why don't you shout out to Lisa's mom, too, and her brother.
Lisa's mom? Yeah. That's
the whole Tripp family listening in California.
That's awesome.
Coffee, beans, and rice. That's the Twitter handle of one Mike Tripp, Lisa's brother. Great dude.
Coffee, beans, and rice.
Yeah.
That's his.
Swear to God. Coffee, beans, and rice. That's my man.
Hey, where's Lisa from? Because she went. What high school did she go to again?
She's from right outside Palm Springs, Indio, California.
Okay, she's from Indio. She's from the desert.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Her dad coached football there and was a teacher. He just retired.
Okay.
Long, long time. And wrestling for a while.
Did he like you?
He still does, I hope.
I mean, from the time y'all first started dating.
I hope so. The biggest thing, I took him golfing to ask permission to marry her.
Oh, you did that?
That was, yeah, I'm about a six handicap.
School, yeah.
I was shooting about 90 that day because I was more concerned, am I going to ask him here? Can I ask him there? When am I going to do that?
Like, hey.
And Mike went along too, and Mike wasn't helping matters any. I was kicking him under the table. So,
like, help me out, dude.
Like the night before, we all had dinner, which was crazy. We're all sitting at this nice restaurant. We're all having dinner. We had just got in. I had never met these people before in my life, and I'm going to ask my wife, her parents' permission to marry her. And we start talking about it at the table. And basically it comes out like, is that your intention? And I'm like, well, yeah. And she looks at me right in front of her whole family and goes, so just so you know, that's not your official asking permission, so that's not going to count. And I was like, are you kidding? I thought this was going to be the easiest thing in the world.
Man, Lisa,
boom.
Lisa just wrong for that.
Wham, elbow move right on top of my temple.
She was like, well, she comes from a Hispanic family, man, so you lucky. I'm saying, yeah, you lucky that didn't, because it could have been, you had to ask the abuela, you had to ask her great-grandmother, her great-grandfather, you had to ask the whole family.
I almost did anyway, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, Mike, man, he was not helping when I actually got the question out, and I was just like, man, I'm going to take... First of all, her mom just texted Indio. I know, I said Indio, California.
Yeah,
but I'm not giving up Lisa's high school just like that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's.
But like Mike, I was kicking Mike under the table. Go, dude, you're not helping me any here.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of those. The
question is did
okay?
Oh, we got him.
Oh no, we got a caller. So Hector wanted to chime in on the Dick Sporting Goods thing. Hector, what's up?
I was having a good time talking about you and Lisa.
Hey,
I'm sure you were. What's up, Hector? How you doing, man?
Yeah, you're talking about all the thing. What happened to you guys, the guy at Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yep.
This is the worst thing could happen. I'm here in Houston, you know, Texan fan, Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm getting ready to go to this Dallas Green Bay on last Sunday. I get an order from NFL.com that I ordered online, a Dak Prescott jersey. You know, I don't even open it up. I throw it in the car. I'm here. I go.
Dude, this is the one that you told us about with the Seahawks on the back,
right?
Hey, I go to Dallas. I'm in front of 100,000 people. I open up my package to see Dak Prescott jersey on the front.
Hector, you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Huh?
You ever seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we just lived this. You called the other day and you told us the story. You opened up the jersey and then you had to buy another one at the stadium because the back had the Seahawks on it.
Yeah, but I'm getting not a response and NFL's not doing anything.
Oh, so you acted on it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just asking what's your pick on what I should do because I'm telling you what.
Okay, so let's go step by step, Hector. So you got the jersey from where?
NFL.com.
All right, so here's what I do. Go to find out if their Twitter account is the same thing.
They got NFL. They have the actual NFL thingy. They have
just find out what their Twitter address is and say hey at NFL.com or whatever it is or NFLShop.com. I think it is. What gives? I bought the jersey. I bought this jersey from you. I get it in the mail. I'm at the game. I have no chance to do anything but open it up thinking I got what I ordered, and instead I get this. And you put the picture with it, and that'll start the process. I guarantee you that someone's going to respond to that, and then they're going to want you to do a private message and just do direct messaging and say, not until this is rectified. I want the public to know what I'm dealing with here, and I guarantee you'll get some results. You let us know.
Hey, and not just that, but couldn't you have sent it back?
But then he doesn't have – but the point is he doesn't have it for the biggest game of the year.
Well, he doesn't need it anymore.
Well, right now, but that's what I'm saying. But they still need to rectify it. Dude's not going to not wear the shirt ever again. Try what I said, Hector. And you know what? And if it doesn't work, look, I mean, there's plenty of – you could go to – I'm sure you could even go to, like, Cowboys.com because they're all tied in together with the NFL. But I would start that way with the – at NFL – I think it's at ShopNFL.com. And I would think that – if you put their Twitter handle on there and you explain what happened, and obviously with 140 characters, we had asked you to send a picture to us. But if you got a picture of what the shirt looked like,
yeah, how you never sent us a picture though? Oh, we've hung up on Hector already.
No, he hung up on himself.
Okay, so Hector, if you can send us a picture too, but I would send a picture of it too because I'm telling you this stuff works, man. Because I see people do with airlines all the time too. Like, dear United Airlines, did you really send my bags to Miami and then delay me? Blah 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 blah. I'll never do it again. And I'm telling you what, you're going to get a response.
I kind of like the collector's item approach, though, right? Isn't it? It could potentially be a collector's item. Sit on it,
The thing is, when the fan lady, the random fan club called, she has like a basic crystal. She like it's like a
crystal
basic
corrected
t-shirt.
It. Yeah. So here's the thing. So Hector's calling it a jersey, and we know those jerseys can go upwards of a couple $100.
Yeah, like, but it's a T-shirt. Like,
the T-shirts are what $29.95, and you can put
if that.
Yeah, and you could put. Okay. Like,
but it's not going to be worth anything, is what you're saying.
Right. No. Yeah, it's just a T-shirt.
Now, if it had been a misprinted jersey, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, like if you got, which would have been crazy, but you know how people have the jerseys where they cut them in half now and they have two different teams?
Yep.
But that's always like right down the middle from the neckline to the waistline. If you could do it the opposite way and do it front one team, back the other, you might have something. People at the midway point, if their team's losing, turn it over.
White Sox, Cubs.
Well, that's a possibility. Hey, that could start a fight.
You remember Adams, that safety you asked about earlier? LSU. It just hit me.
Okay. Well, they don't know anything about that, so we'll probably fill them in when we get back. Top five picks rumored in the Mel Kiper's first mock draft for the NFL. We can get to that. By the way, Nick, the one that you wouldn't want to do either, Dodgers, Giants.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you're asking for double fights in the parking lot on both sides. Right, Travis?
Yes, no question.
Okay. Hey, guess what? Lisa's mom also says that I like her more, but that she does love you on the air, Travis. So that's big.
So I said, I appreciate
it. And she said, Coach loves my show. So there you have it.
There it is. Hey, well, can Lisa's mom cook?
Oh, my God, can she cook?
I'm just trying to figure out why I haven't been invited to come eat food and stuff like
Dude,
that.
We don't have that much. We got a kid and five Hispanic dogs. How the hell are we going to afford
that's
enough food
true.
To feed you?
You do have five dogs.
I want to tell everybody the order you just put in for your golf shirt.
Oh, yeah, 4X.
Woo, baby. I'm telling you right now that they're trying to find... Never mind.
Enough fabric to put on it. But, I mean, I can do a 3X. I could actually do a 2X if I'm feeling frisky.
Yeah, if you want to wear it like you want to wear it like body armor. Anyway,
muscles.
We're still trying to track down George Carl. He's supposed to join us. Nick, we'll try and get him an update next. Hopefully, we'll get him on the air during the final hour of the show. But either way, we keep rolling along as the train heads down the track. We got more show coming right around the bend. ESPN 97.5.
Golden Rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.